Well, there were some children that were putting on a Christmas skit at their school. And they were really working hard, and they were thinking that they had some really creative ideas on how to set up some special effects. And so what they decided to do, these kids decided that they were going to put an electric light bulb in the manger, right? And so at the right time, they would switch on that light bulb, and that manger would glow, and it would fill the whole room, right? That was dark. That manger would fill the whole room, and it would really be a great symbolism of this newborn baby Savior that had been born. And so they had really planned this out. It was really a great idea. Thought it was a great theatrical touch in what they were going to do. And so it came time for the skit to take place, and there may have been some nerves that were taking place on stage and behind the scenes. And so at the moment that this was going to take place, the boy that was directing the lights, he froze. And when it went dim, instead of that light coming on in the manger, the whole room went pitch black dark. I mean, just dark. And all the kids, you know, are scrambling. They're trying to figure out what's going on. It was a tense moment there at the school. And in the midst of the darkness, one of the little shepherd boys, he kind of is struggling, and he shouts out, "Hey, you switched off Jesus," right? And I know over these last couple of weeks, we have been so focused on Christmas, right? I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we had our Naples Christmas celebration. Hope many of you were able to come and be a part. If you weren't able to be here, hopefully you were able to watch it online and see it. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It was such a great time for our church family to gather together, for us to sing, and for us to really worship the birth of Christ. It was really just a great time. And then over the last couple of weeks, I'm sure that many of you have been out shopping. I'm sure that you have been decorating, and you have been eating and eating and eating, right? I mean, that's kind of as we've walked through these last couple of weeks, and all we're doing it all in the name of Christmas, right? I mean, we're doing all of that. And so as we kind of look and we get to that point to where Christmas finally made it yesterday, right? You remember back in like April and May when you weren't sure 2020 was going to end? Right? And now here we are right at the end of 2020, and Christmas finally made it. But for some, here we are December 26th, and Christmas is already over. Caleb said that. For some of us, the trees are going down. I've got a friend who yesterday posted, this was on social media, he posted, 136, the tree is down. Not a record, but not bad, right? And so the whole deal, like when Christmas dinner's over, the family takes down the Christmas tree, like we're done, right? And I think for a lot of us, that's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of days. We'll start taking stuff down. There are people, listen, people are already tired. They're tired of the lights. They're tired of the decorations. They're tired of the songs. I mean, they're tired. They're ready to get back to normal, whatever normal is this year, right? I mean, they're looking forward to that and trying to move into that. But as we walk in and start walking through the end of the year and taking down the decorations, I wonder that as we're putting our lights up, are we in danger of packing away the Christ in Christmas? I mean, are we in danger of that? That in the as we move back to normal, right? And we're all hoping normal gets here sooner rather than later, right? I mean, as we walk back into normal, are we capable of, hey, you switched off Jesus? Are we capable of switching off Jesus over these next couple of days? That we forget the importance of Christmas, not just because of the routine of Christmas, but because of what it means. It's worshiping the Lord and Savior, that we forget about that. I was thinking about this, that I can only imagine that Satan is ready for us to just put our Christmas celebrations away. I mean, can you hear him when he's like, "Hey, Christmas is over, pack away the joy. Hey, Christmas is over, guys. No reason to worship Jesus anymore. You've done it." I mean, you came to the Christmas Eve service and you celebrated. No reason to get excited anymore. I mean, Christmas is over. I mean, let's move on from that. I mean, the joy that comes in Christmas, when you're taking down the lights, just take down the joy. When you're thinking about the hope that 2021 brings, hey, I got news for you. Let's just throw that away like the wrapping paper on the floor. Hear Satan like saying that? And here's the challenge is we hear it, and then some of us, man, we hear it and we believe it. And we get caught into the holiday funk, don't we? Like where the holidays are over and it's woe is me and what's next and what's to come and I don't know. And we get caught up in the midst of that, and all of a sudden Jesus just kind of fades into the past. The routine of Christmas kind of moves on and we're looking toward the new year and we're saying, what's next? Like what's to come now? Like this was a great little like Christmas was so much fun because it got me back to like the past. But now that Christmas is over, like we're back to the same old mundane, back into the routine, the grind of every day. And we listen sometimes to Satan and we get down in the dumps and despair. And so in an effort for us not to switch off Jesus, I really want us to spend some time in John chapter 1. And this is, the Apostle John wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And think about this. John is the one who was probably the closest to Jesus than anyone on earth. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is what he wrote in John chapter 1. So will y'all stand out of reverence of the Word of God and join me as I read John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.'" Thanks, you may be seated. So John, the one who just loves Jesus, who spent his time with Jesus, who walked next to Jesus, here's John painting this just unbelievably beautiful picture of Jesus. And listen, it is full of so many profound truths that there are sermon series just based on just these 18 verses. I mean, I'm talking months of sermons, right, that are brought out of this. Here's some of the truths. Just as you look back over what I just read, look at some of these. They're in John 1:1. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the Word. He's distinct from the Father. And Jesus is God. All that just from the very first verse. There in verse 3, Jesus is the creator. Verse 4, Jesus is the source of all spiritual life. 4 and 5, Jesus is the light. In 9 and 11, it talks about how Jesus confronts, and then in 12 and 13, it talks about how after he's confront, Jesus divides us. John 14, Jesus is God in our flesh. Jesus shares the Father's glory. And Jesus reveals God's grace, and then there right at the end, it says, Jesus is the only revealer of God the Father. I mean, that's some serious truths, right? I mean, he's coming in and talking about these truths, but I just want us to focus on one truth tonight. And that's the one that's found in John 1, 4, and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, in this text, you've got John who is calling Jesus the light. I mean, this is not far-fetched, right? I mean, Jesus himself called himself the light. I mean, even in scripture, you've got Jesus who calls himself the light. You've got just a couple of even verses in John, later on in John, where, how about this one? Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right? You got, again, Jesus in John 12, 46. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And so this is something that even Jesus jumped into. This metaphor is one that is not that far-fetched. But when John says it in verse 4, when John's talking about it, he's not really just giving us another adjective that's just like this, let me just give you truths, right? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was born the son of a virgin. Like all these truths that could come out, he's just not giving us another truth for us to go, oh, okay, so that's Jesus is the light. Like I get that. But what he's trying to do in this, he's not just describing him, he's trying to explain to us the purpose with which Jesus came. Like it says in here, it says he's not just the life or he's not just the light. It says he's the light of men. I mean, what does that mean? That he's the light of men. It's talking about his purpose. I mean, there's a couple of spiritual conditions that I was thinking of and how light responds to spiritual conditions. So think about this. Light exposes, right? It exposes. You ever been asleep really, you know, good and sleep and it's dark in your room and one of your kids comes on and flips on the light? It exposes everything. I always appreciate it when my kids turn on the light because if not, they walk all the way in and get like right here. And then they expose themselves in complete darkness and then I yell, right? I mean, that's how that works at our house sometimes. Light exposes. How about this verse? John 3:20, for everyone who does wicked things, they hate the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. Light exposes. How about this? It separates. John 3:19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Light separates. Here's another thing light does. It leads to belief. John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And when Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And light leads to belief. Light delivers. John 12:46. Here's that great quote that Jesus gave. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. He's a deliverer. He brings deliverance to us. Light comes and delivers us. And then the last one is it transforms. Light transforms. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness and will have the light of life. That this is not, light is not just another descriptor. Light is talking about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. There's more to it than, oh, he's the light. And again, all these texts I just read, they're all from the Gospel of John. Every one of them. The guy who is the most intimate is writing about the one that he loves. And this is what he's saying. This is who he is. He's not just writing another account. You know, sometimes we get and we're like, oh, this is just some good things. Like, we just feel like we're just reading a narrative of Jesus. And we're like, oh, he did this, and then he did this. And what do you do next? And you're caught up in all these things that he did. And John in this is not really caught up in that. He's not just trying to write so that we hear another thing that Jesus did, so that we come in and just know more about Jesus. What he's writing is so that we will believe and be transformed by Jesus. You know how I know that that's why what he was trying to do? He tells us later in John, I am writing these things so that you will believe and be transformed. Like, the whole purpose of him writing this gospel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is for those of us beyond him to read it and to believe. It's my first-person account. I'm not just telling you things because I was there with him, and so you can hear all these little truthful little sayings. I'm trying to get you so you'll believe and that you will really be transformed. You know, if you look up light in the dictionary, the very first definition that comes out for light is something that makes vision possible. Very first definition, something that makes vision possible. So in other words, light makes it possible for us to see, right? Without light, we are hopelessly blind. Like, I was even joking, I told the guys back in the back, I said, all right, it's at this point that we turn off all the lights in this room and it goes pitch black dark. And then we'd all start screaming, kids would be screaming, it'd be, a nightmare. But have you ever been in that place to where it is so dark, like you can't see your hand in your face? Like, it almost takes your breath away a little bit. It kind of gets scary. That's why we have night lights, amen? And so you get into this part to where it is pitch black dark. This is saying without light, we are hopelessly blind. We're blind spiritually to our predicament, and we're so blind we don't even know how to get out of it. You ever been in a dark black room, like the light goes off your bedroom and you're feeling around trying to find the light switch? And you're like, it's over here somewhere. Stub your toe, run into the bed, you know, knock over the lamp, kick the dog, you know, whatever. And it's just, you don't know even where to go. You're so blinded by it. With the absence of light, we are blindlessly walking around and don't even know how to get out of the blindness. But light makes it where we can clearly see. You see where this is going? Like, light makes it to where we can clearly see. To see, like, where things really are. To see what's really going on. And Jesus came to help a blind world. Jesus came to help a blind world regain its sight and to show people the way. Jesus is the light. I mean, even in this, that's when you see that verse and John says that the light shines in the darkness. That's what he's talking about. Like, in the midst of our rebellion, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of us stumbling around trying to figure it out, the light showed up. And amen, he showed up as a little baby in a manger. Those little kids had it right at that Christmas skit, right? I mean, that light that shines up. I mean, if they could have pulled it off, it would have been impressive, right? The light just popping up and just showing the power of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who came out of heaven and took on our skin and our suffering and our sorrow, and he came down, and it's a little baby in a manger. Darkness is the absence of light. If you're going to describe darkness, that's how you describe it. There's no light. It's complete dark. And spiritual darkness is when it's so dark we can fail to see. We can't really see who God is. We can't really see who we are. And to be honest, in spiritual darkness, you really can't even see what that means, that I don't know who God is, I don't know who I am, and you don't even really know what that means for now, and you don't know what it means for the future. You're completely blind. That's the darkness that comes. We can't comprehend. We can't appreciate. We can't see. And in Scripture, there's another term that Scripture uses for that kind of condition. It's called dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we are dead in our sins. And then here in, in John chapter 1, John says that Jesus shines in the middle of that darkness. That Jesus enters our lives. How about this? Jesus invades our lives. It's so bright, it's so powerful, it's an invasion of the darkness that he comes to us to rescue us because we are in the need of a rescuer. We're in the need of a savior. He's the light. Think about this. In the same way that Jesus, in later on in John, in chapter 11, Jesus shows up for Mary and Martha, and Lazarus is dead, and he's already in the tomb. And Jesus calls out to Lazarus and says, come on out, you're alive. It's the same thing he's doing today, except instead of us being dead in a tomb, we are dead men walking. We are dead in our trespasses and we're dead in our sins. And Jesus as light comes and says, get up and wake up. The light has come. I'm going to expose all of that for you. I mean, it's powerful when it happens. Rabbi Zacharias used to say this, Jesus does not offer to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. Read that up there. Jesus does not offer to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. Maybe Jesus has been invading your darkness. Maybe his light has exposed your sin and brokenness. And you're really trying to start seeing things a little more clearly than you have in the past, right? And due to your sinfulness, you need to be rescued. Those of us that are Christ followers, whether we're here in the room or we're watching online, if we were to be with you one-on-one, this is what we'd tell you. We'd tell you that Jesus lights everything up. That really he gives life to everything. I mean, those of us that are Christ followers, we would come in and we would say, hey, when we met Jesus and his light came in, he transformed everything. I mean, he transformed my thinking. He transformed my desires. I mean, when I met Jesus and I started getting to know him, my actions started changing. My words, they started changing. I mean, he came in and he really lit everything up in my life. And then ultimately, because the life in Jesus, his light in my life affected me in a lot of other ways. It affected how I saw myself, my identity. I mean, Christ followers will tell you, when you have an encounter with Jesus, your identity changes. It affected how I spent my money. It affected my career. It affected my family. Jesus' light even affected the way I deal with pain and sorrow. I mean, for those that are Christ followers, if we were in the room and we were talking to someone who hasn't met Jesus, we would say, hey, this is how light affected us. I mean, it came in, and as soon as I encountered him, he lit up everything in my life. I'm just kind of giving you some feedback. This is how it affected me. The light of Jesus, right, comes in order that the life of Jesus transforms us. The light of Jesus comes so that the life of Jesus will transform us. So through the next few days, right, we're about to walk into this new year. Here's a question. Has Christmas made a difference in your life? I mean, has Christmas made a difference? Trees coming down, lights are going out. Maybe you're running back and returning some packages that you got, right? What difference has the birth of Jesus made in your life? What's the difference he's made in my life? I mean, how has Christmas impacted me? And here's the thing. Do we need to respond to the invitation that Jesus gives us really to come in and say, become a child of God? Do we need to respond to that? Have we just been walking through in the same way that we walk through the motions of Christmas? So it's another Christmas. Let's buy some more presents. Let's figure it out. Are we walking through our lives with, well, it's just another church service. This, I just heard this again. There's some more scripture. And you're just playing the game. Are we to the point to where you need to respond to the invitation and say, hey, I need to really get real with God? Say, hey, I need your light. I need your help. I'm blindly wandering around trying to figure it out. And maybe if that's your first time doing it, later in the service, we'll have pastors up here, and you can just come forward and say, hey, I'm ready for Jesus just to come in and just illuminate everything. Come on down. Maybe you're one of these Christ followers who would admit and say, hey, if I can just be honest, somewhere there was some time that I somehow have switched Jesus off. I mean, I can think back to when I was a lot closer to him and we had this really good relationship and things were moving and I was really, but man, just over time and maybe, man, this year's been crazy, 2020, come on. And I'm just not where I want to be. And I'm just praying, I need the light of Jesus to shine in me brighter than it's ever shone before. This might be the perfect time in between Christmas and New Year, at the end of 2020, one of the craziest years we've ever walked through, for you to say, hey, I'm ready to switch on Jesus. I'm ready for his light to brighten my path in 2021. Now that sounds like a New Year's resolution, doesn't it? But I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. Resolutions, like some of you have made resolutions and they've lasted maybe a week. Now some of you have pulled some resolutions off, right? Some of you have made them happen. But for the most part, resolutions, sometimes they stick, most of the times they don't. So I don't want you to sit here in the church service and say, well, I'm gonna make a New Year's resolution. I'm gonna be more serious about Jesus. That's not what I'm asking you to do. My suggestion is not a resolution. My suggestion is a revolution. I mean, I'm talking about, we walk around at this time of the year and we say, hey, don't forget, Christ is in Christmas. Don't forget about Christ in Christmas. And we walk around that. How about this? How about we remember to put Christ in our Christian walk? How about no matter if it's February, March, April, May, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, that your Christian faith has Christ right in the center of it, in the heart of it. That is a revolution. That's not a resolution. I mean, that changes the world. And it starts with you and the people that you encounter. So maybe you saying, hey, Jesus, I need you to be a light in me, brighter than ever before. Because I'll tell you, do you know what our world needs? Do you know what our country needs? Do you know what Naples needs? Do you know what your neighborhood needs? Do you know what your house needs? Jesus. They need the light. And you know one of the ways that Jesus said that there's light in our world? That he says, hey, Christ followers, you are a reflection of me. It's like looking in a mirror. And when anybody sees you, they don't see you, they see Jesus. That his light is so bright. Imagine this. This is why it's such a revolution, that when people encounter you, no matter what their preconceived notions are about the church or about Christians, that when they encounter you, they see peace, joy, happiness, good. They see Jesus out of you, and it completely changes their notions about the church and about a Christ follower. What? Like, that's revolutionary. That's how revival takes place. We always talk about we need revival in our country. We need revival in our homes. We need revival in our church. We need revival in Naples. We need revival in Southwest Florida. We need revival in Florida. We need revival in the United States. We need revival all over the world. Amen? I mean, we need revival to come in, and it starts with who? With you. I mean, when we get in and we talk about the light of Jesus, let me say this. Light to a dark world is revolutionary. Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm gonna pray, And then we're going to stand and sing. And like I mentioned before, there's going to be pastors up here in the front. And this will be our time to respond to the message. And here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never believed in him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come forward and tell one of the pastors, and we can share with you, even before you leave tonight, we can share with you how you can give your life to Jesus. Or maybe as a Christ follower, somehow over time you've switched Jesus off in your life. Maybe he's not shining as bright as he once was. Then come forward. Maybe you want to talk to a pastor. Maybe you just want to bow down on these steps right here and just make a recommitment to the Lord and say, God, I just want to be a shining light. I just want to be a reflector for you. And let it start tonight. Maybe we can pray and encourage you. Maybe you've never submitted to the obedience of baptism, or maybe you're interested in learning more about the, becoming a member of the church. I mean, listen, I don't know what the Lord's laying on your heart right now, but I pray you'll be obedient to what he's calling you to do. If you're here in the room, come forward. If you're watching online, then email us. Let us follow up with you. Let tonight be a difference in your walk. Father, I pray for us as we are struggling with decisions that you are calling us, pleading to us, challenging us. Lord, all across this room, eyes watching their computer screens, Lord, you are working in only ways that you can work. Lord, may we be obedient to your call on our lives. And Lord, if we don't know you personally, that we'll be bold enough to reach out, and that you'll shine your light bright upon our blindness, that we'll know you personally and intimately, much in the same way as the Apostle John. And Father, for those of us in this room who are Christ followers, Lord, may this be a challenge to us to be reflectors of the light of the world. Lord, will you move in only the ways you can? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.